Yeah.
Aloha Baisai, it's 7 o'clock, Maitzi Shabbos. Happy Hanukkah, Agudat Chodesh. We're going to start at the top on Mem, Amud Aleph. Is that correct? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to test someone Bays at the bottom. Okay, where are the, I'm sorry. I'm going to test someone Bays. Kola Shishimish Mitosu. Amar Abami. So if he liberally caused himself to become a Balkari, let him die. In other words, he shouldn't. Should he knew he was a chaylish, he shouldn't be involved in such things. So in other words, the heter to use Tisha Kav, he's not going to allow him to do that, I guess. Which means he's going to have to go to the regular mikvah, and the regular mikvah is cold, and he's sick. So if he's going to cold mikvah, he might get even sicker. So he's going to die. That's what he means. Yomus, he's not giving him the heter of using Tisha Kav. Then Ba'inus and Matrikmal, if it was an Inus, meaning he had a dream, so then you could go ahead and use Tisha Kav. If he was Mishamash Mitosai on purpose,
right,
he has to be told. Correct.
That's what says.
Even though he might get sick as a result, you get sicker. That's the problem. He'll get sicker because it's cold. Okay, Rav Chagi ben Shem Rabab of Razavda says, he's a little bit more humanistic. People are fragile. They do things that are not healthy for themselves. And therefore, you could go ahead. He'll be able to do Tisha Kav and whatever. Yeah, but he's giving him the heter of Tisha Kav, right? Yeah, that's in footnote 19. He mentions that. Chola Margol Tzarach Tisha Kavin. Chola, who deliberately causes himself to become a Balkari, needs Tisha Kavin again. Bari Margol Tzarach Avoyim Shana. This is like almost a repeat almost. And if you're healthy, you have to use 40 Sah. Chola Me Aynes, Ematrichin Olav. Then this is the most Kuladek that we've seen, that a Chola who has the Aynes doesn't even have to take Tisha Kavin. It's completely like off the grid from the Takana. Okay. Next page. What about an Inus who's right where it's a healthy person? Then he requires Tisha Kav. So these are all various shitas. Next, Rav Zvadya, Bered Rav Yaakov, Razadim, Kim Rav Yoina, Irsha Mayana Rachok. If you have a city where the Mayan is far away, in other words, the nearest mikvah is far away. So it's going to take time to get to that location, so therefore you can go ahead and read without going to the title. That way you say Shema B'zmano, meaning, in other words, even though Shema and Kriya Shema is 3 hours per se, and Tefillah is 4 hours per se, so what's the big difference? But I think we're again, as we keep seeing, we're going to try to L'charchil will do it at Nate's, in which case it's not. That's why I would say the pshat is. Does anybody say differently? Let's see. The Mara folder. Er Shema and Shalom Rachuk Beno Er is my Kriya Shema. Koyna Minus Acham. You see, he says exactly the same thing because my Kriya Shema he's learning is before Nate's. Kimishu Rachuk Kai Chaklip Ol Kaidim Shiar Hayom Telikus Kriya Shema is Mana. And if in order for him to make it on time, he would have had to go to the mikvah. Before Alois, when they had to get up really early at night and go to the mikvah, that would be Sakaras Laila. So anyway, that's the pshat. We're on Mem Amud Aleph. Okay, no problem. We're just at the just a few a little bit a couple lines down. Okay, so Irsham Ayana Rachok, Kirishma, Yavatova, Ilo Mispal. He goes to the mikvah afterwards, and he's Mispal Shmona Esra. Okay? And who Adam Mitsunon, if he's cold, he's unusually sensitive to the cold. Even if the mikvah is nearby, also, Oysa Kamayan Rachok, they treated it like it was far away. In other words, it's cold in the morning, meaning at sunrise. At sunrise, it would be very difficult for him to be tovel in the mikvah because the mikvah is going to be freezing in the morning. So therefore, they allowed him to say Shema and wait a little bit until it warms up a little bit, the sun comes out, and then you'll say Shema and Esrei later. Okay. Next Viter, Pisco. In Lab, Yiskasim my vehicle. It says you cover yourself over with water. So Masisa Bakur, and the Mishnah is talking about cloudy water. If it will be clear, it will be also to say Shema, because you'd be see the erva. If he can make the water cloudy with his feet, he should do that. Tony, you stay away from excrement from a person for amas. It's a dog as well. Dog excrement. As provided that the dog excrement was being used for, it was used to make hides softer. They used to soak the hides in a mixture of some kind of, you know, water and dog's excrement, so that's when it really smells. So in other words, if the dog excrement was found standing, you know, somebody forgot to curb their dog, like they say, that would not be a problem, apparently, right? According to this, those of you who own dogs, it's very clear here that it's only the dog excrement is only a problem if it's being used for the hide making process. But if the dog is not, you know, it's not cleaned up afterwards, apparently it wouldn't be a problem.
It's not as significant.
I guess not. It says in the bottom, though, human is always worse, right? Human is has an absolute iser, meaning that even if it doesn't have an odor, you still have to be out of the dalanamas. If it does have an odor, you have to be dalanamas away from the odor. That's human excrement. Now, when it comes to canine, let's see what it says over here. They become the equivalent of a human excrement when they are applied to hides. The question is whether they have the prohibitive power even after they stop emitting an odor. That will be a shaila. I don't know the details on that.
Are there two denim here, one covered and one odor? Is that the point?
No. It's a question. The whole din is a din of covet. And the covet is determined based either, watch yourself, and the covet is determined either by the odor, by human condition, or if there's no odor, at least dalanamas. And by the dog, it has to have been used for hides. Okay, other animals apparently don't have the same comer. Rabbi Yirmiya b'shem Rabbi Ze'ira, Nevel Shenisrucha. Now, if you have a different kind of smell, you have a carcass of an animal and it smells. I remember there was a deer that had run when the Shomer had just put up the fence along the parking lot. A deer had run headfirst into the fence and got killed. It basically killed itself by running right into the fence. And I don't know if you remember, there was this horrendous smell in the parking lot. I went in the back to investigate, and I found that there was a decomposing deer there in one of the neighbors' backyards over there. So this would be Mamashek a case, you know. But it's even there, it only says here Dalaramas. Even though it was smelling up the entire parking lot. But apparently the din of you know, it says Dalaramas. I'm not, you know, I don't see anything where it says that it has to be odor. Okay, anyway. Let's see, 1 second. In footnote 11 on the next page, on 48.2, it says, if animal dung generates a repulsive odor, it's legally equivalent to human excrement. It's possible that here too, the prohibition remains in force even after the odor has dissipated. Okay, but he's not answering my question. In other words, he's saying that if it's decomposed and it's not putting out an odor, then perhaps you still have to be dalanamas away from it. I'm talking about the other way. If the odor is so overwhelming that it goes way beyond dalanamas, I don't know. Amar avino umasisa amar kain kamayach mehen umnatzoa dalanamas. So it says the words mehen. We're on 48.2. If you got the English, 48.2. Yep, we started at 7 on time, and we're at the top of 48.2. Amar avino. The Mishnah is proof because it says kama yarchek mehen uminhat soya arba amas. So what's mehen? So if you look, let's go back to the Mishnah so we know what we're referring to. Okay, so let's look at the Mishnah.
Right there.
Right, it's referring back. Right, so it says, I guess so. It says, so the Mishnah said on Lama Tesla base, the Mishnah said, Lo yiskas lo mayim harayim, lo b'meha mishnah. You can't cover yourself with smelly water. And kama yachuk mehem, how far do you have to go away from them? So what's them mean? So it sounds like you're saying mayim rayim and may mishra. And then it says, so what are we doing? We're trying to prove that just like mayim rayim and may mishra are smelly items you have to be marked from, so too, I guess, the nevela srucha is also a smelly item, and therefore it also has to be dalamas mehen. So the Gemara says, obviously, we daika this raya. Amar Bami Rav Shammai, it's not such a good raya. Tifto Mishra Shal Kovsim. Maybe it's talking about Kovsim are launderers. So they actually, when they were laundering clothes, so unbelievable as this may sound, they actually used human excrement as part of one of their laundry
chemicals.
Oh, you're learning the laundering diapers. That's what you think the pshat is? Oh, been soiled with human. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. It's been soiled with human excrement. I thought I had seen once that excrement was used to clean things. I may be wrong. For this, yeah. Use it for hides.
I think they use
it. I don't know.
And then it doesn't smell anymore.
Next time your baseball glove next time your baseball glove falls in your trellon, think of that. Rabbani said, "In the Mishra shall kovsim." If we're talking about that type of laundry, hotninon lo b'mayim roim lo b'mei mishra. So steeping water cannot mean the same thing.
In other words, they're standing in the water washing these clothing, and the question is whether they can say Shema at this time.
It's more picture this. You're walking by this area where they're washing the clothing. You're not one of the people washing. You're walking by the area.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, what's he saying exactly here? He's saying foul water, mayim royim, includes water used to clean items salt with human excrement.
Right, but mayim mishra is
mishra.
Salt that smells bad. Doesn't have anything to do with soil.
Right. Prove from the nevela from the mayim mishra case. In other words, Zalzaino Zay that mayim royim is talking about launderers. But we could still prove the Vela from the main Mishnah side. Okay, let's learn it that way. Pani, katon, shuyachalach kazayas dogan, a child who's able to eat a kazayas of grain, portion mitzo also, we may write a glove, arba amas. In other words, what's the age of a child? You know, right after they're born, they have stuff in them. They could start, you know, having movements as early as the first day after they're born. But that movement apparently does not have a lock of sight. In fact, as long as they're not able to eat a kazayas of dogon, which could be a couple of months actually, it's not a problem. Otherwise, you don't have to be parish if they don't have that ability. Now, he brings the machlokas Rashi and other Rishonim. Rashi learns that it's only if the child actually ate the grain that we have this problem of being marchik. He brings it from Rashi Sukkah 42b, as understood by Beis Yosef. Okay, so able to eat means...
So you're learning the Gemara that if a child can't eat this, then the excrement doesn't have that odor, and therefore it's not a problem? Is that the point?
But what we're saying here is we're having a machlokas Rashi and other Rishonim. Is the child just able to eat? Has he actually eaten it? So according to Rashi, he has to have actually eaten it. According to other Paiskim, it's even if he's roi to eat it, even if he hasn't actually eaten it yet, he still has reached the age of eating.
Okay.
We'll just throw that out as a machlokas. Interesting machlokas. Anyway, So born kami ragavu. So they asked him, mushroom swasu mimi ragavu. Why? Why is something? What? It's not this question when they say neymar. I think who says this? I think the if you take a look at the charedim in the Hebrew. Let's look at the Hebrew charedim. We see where it says neymar. The charedim says kosher. I'm in the charedim. It's about middle of the page where it says neymar v'chulu. Okay, kosher. So he asked the question. My boy, what do you mean? Why do you have to be parish from Tzaya? Haray b'chush, we know just by smelling. You know, sharei haram, b'shar behem. It's poshut that a human excrement is apparently much fouler smelling than other animals. The tifshu kashin amiha. Okay, okay, skip that. The nira, dahi boy. So he says, this is the question of the Gemara. Loma mazolai shel adam hura liyos garua b'zeh. Why is the mazel of a mensch so bad that it's got it? He has this lot in life that he's worse than an animal. It doesn't seem covetic for a mensch to have this mazel in life. Very interesting. She'in rechava loyosin ha'kovet hazela so. He didn't have this covet done. I love this language. It's like a sarcasm in the language. You know, he doesn't have this covet la'soso la'pachas kebehemu. She'in rechava. Why wasn't I given at least the covet that I should be like an animal? I thought this was a very, I find this very humorous.
Well, animals don't eat chili, you know?
Yeah. Animals don't eat cholent. They don't eat chili. They don't eat a lot of things. Anyway, but I guess, sir, the Gemara is going to give a very interesting answer. I'm online. So he says, the reason why we have this special midah of tzoa, that's reich hara, is that they shemach shavois of rice. This goes to our base nature that we have evil thoughts. Very interesting answer. Amr and Leis, they said, "V'lo katan hu." Wait a minute, we're talking about a little child here. We just said a child once he can eat a kazayas of dogon. He have to be marked from this site. He doesn't have machshavos. He doesn't. He only thinks of one thing, mommy. That's it. The foul small gives.
Because he has the tendency to, you know,
In order to check his arrogance. Uh-huh.
Check his arrogance.
Very nice. How much more arrogant would he be if his waist had a pleasant odor? Baruch Hashem.
if we didn't need another source of
musk. if we didn't need anything else to remind us. Great. Okay, but the Gemara is asking, and we're like, look, cotton, wasn't he a cotton? What's the bad thoughts with the cotton? So he said to us, look, siv, ki yetsa lev ha'adam ra minu urav. It says a person's lev is minu urav, and minu urav is spelled without a vav after the ayin, marabudu min arav siv, which means stirrings. Instead of youth, it's no arav. From the time is no arav. So the next page, it says, mishosha hu nin arav yotze la'olam. The time he starts to go out of the mother's womb, that's the time from when he is already having evil thoughts, which is interesting because, like we just said, right? We just said that the way he puts it over here, he gives it from Haredim, but Lamaisa, let's see, what does it say in the Haredim in Hebrew? Let's look in there. Second. It's interesting that even though there may be a yetzahara in a person from the time they're born, but there's a certain delay. He's not shaylet. The yetzahara is not shaylet until he's able to eat a kazayas. That's what we're saying, right? You only have to be marked from the time he eats kazayas. But yet at the same time, we say Ram and Ura from the time he's born. So there's a little period of time in there, but the Yetzer is still not that stark. But once you can eat Kazayas, forget about it. Okay. Right. Right. Much later. Correct. Okay. Whether this is connected to the idea that the Itzhadas was a chita or not, I leave that up to you to explore. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Amar Marchikin Miglolei Behema Arba Amos. By the way, you know, I was just thinking, all these Gemaras about Zaya that we're doing tonight, and you know, Yashka, they say that they done him with Tzaya Rasachas, as they state that he was judged with boiling Tzaya. So I think this is apropos for tonight.
What do you mean, judge?
He's judged constantly. In other words, he's.
You mean now?
Yeah, okay. Anyway, just thought it might, in case you felt like a little guilty learning tonight, this is the perfect thing to learn. So let's see what it's talking about. Rav Shmuel, Bar of Yitzchak, Amar, Barab, Barakim, it has to be soft. Vavad Shachamar, only of a donkey. So soft donkey excrement, that's what we're talking about. And another qualification, Rav Barab, Amar, the donkey has traveled, right? He's been traveling, so because he's been, you know, he's worked up himself like a certain, you know, worked up sweat or whatever. So that this working of coming on the derek is also going to add to the smell. Levi Amar Machikim Mitzvahs Chazir Abba Amos, you have to be Machikim Machazir for Amos for Tommy Cain. Machikim Mitzvahs Chazir Abba Amos, same thing that Bryce is similarly taught. We try as Hanamiya Abba Amos. It's not clear what the Mia is. It might be a ferret or something. It could be a Martin weasel-like animal. Yeah, something like this. Anyway, whatever. So that was also Dalanamas. We try as Tanagbel Dalanamas from chickens, Dalanamas. And the Gemara qualifies that we're on mem of a base. Radumin has to be red. It has to be red. It could be adumim if it's lashon rabim. If that's the gersa, then adumim would mean red chicken, because that would be lashon rabim. If it would be adom, then it would be referring to the tzaya itself being red. Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. They all the time. They have a dark red chicken. It's very common. Red, not red like more like orange, like a deep red. It's a very, very deep. Yeah. Okay. We're gonna, you know what? After we're done, we're gonna go and look on Google. We're gonna Google red chickens. Tony, if there's no such thing, then we're gonna have to change the gersa to adom, which would mean it's referring to the. He brings in footnote one. Some authorities read here aduma in the singular, which would indeed refer to the excrement. Right until this creation. Okay. What? From Roman chickens? Yeah. Okay. Tony, marchich me'ach ra abo amis. If it's a foul odor, 4 amos. Amar Avami, Misayf, Reach Ra Dal Amos. 4 amos are measured from the end of the foul odor.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah?
That changes the way you look at it. The parking lot wouldn't have been a place for you to be able to say because the foul odor is included. You count 4 amos right at the end of that area.
That's right. Okay, he has what to say about this. Okay. Hadada Amar, what does that apply? La'acharav, that if it's behind him, of Alafanav, if you see I thought this was referring to specifically Tsoa.
Yeah. Anything bows.
Is this true even of the hide? No, I don't think if you have decomposing. Thank you. A decomposing animal in front of you that this is thin. Anyway, but certainly by tzoa it's true. In front of a mokum shein of rose, also if you can see it, you have it's not good. A hador like this case. They're sitting in front of an inn at night. So this is the case. They're sitting outside an inn. Outside, you know. I guess you know. And in those days, the inn people brought their horses to the inn. And of course, there was soya around the inn, but it was at night. They couldn't see the soya. So they were saying, what about saying Torah here? There's donkey excrement in front of us, but we can't see it. Does it still apply? Amalai, he said to us, if it was light, if it was daytime, we would have seen it. So makuminon, what's in front of us? Therefore now it's also as well, even though it's dark. So this is an interesting psak.
What is
chamyon? What? Chamyon, we would have seen it. We will see what's in front of us. Yeah. So Tony, that's always, you know, these are always shilas, you know. I told you the shilas that I had about, you know, reading Kriya Shema in a chasana. They were blasting the music so loud that I couldn't hear the words I was saying. I was saying Shema, I would even say it loud. I wouldn't hear what I was saying. The music was so loud, I couldn't hear what I was saying. Wow. So even the benching, forget about Krishna. What about benching? You don't hear what you don't hear Masha'ino, you know, Masha'ino. But anyway, you know, it's a similar kind of thing. It's situational. Tani, Garaf Echad Shal Re'i, Echad Shal Mayim. Sorry, Garaf, if you have a chamber pot, Echad Shal Re'i, Echad Shal Mayim. Whether it is a chamber pot that was used to hold excrement or a chamber pot that was used to hold urine, mine is of course Maragolim. Then Then even if the chamber pot is empty and clean, you can rinse it out, it wouldn't make a difference. It has a look like basic kisei, correct? Yeah. It says in 10, it's like reading Shema in a lavatory, even if it has been cleaned. And it says this is limited to a pot made of earthenware or wood, which absorb it. If it was made of glass, it's not a problem. So if now we're on, yeah. If a vessel containing urine in front of the bed, you need to put a small amount of water into that pot. That's mavatalit enough to cover. You can read Kriya Shema Mimlav. And if you don't add water, Laika shouldn't say Kriya Shema until he moves it down almost away. Rav Zakkai, here's a machlok. Not a mashu of mine. You have to actually pour a whole cup of water into it. Then Yikrei could read, then Lavla Yikrei can't read. Malkadei Revius, what is the minimum amount of urine that requires a Revius? According to Rav Zakkai, Zagmar says, Revius, Vitak Revius. Okay, so if you have less than a Revius of urine, then you could put even less water than a Revius in a droplet. I think that But if it's more than a revius of urine, then I think you are allowed to be bought with just a cup of water is enough. Ethically, cotton, ethically, gadol. Yes, that's exactly what he's saying now, right? Ethically, cotton, ethically, gadol, a revius is enough. That's correct. I was making like I knew it. This is right here in the Mishnah, right? Now, Shimmigamli Loimar, Shalach Amita Yikra. If it's behind the bed, you can read Kriyashma. The bed serves like a mechitza. Because, like we said, it's too much in the open. Rav Shimon ben Elazar, Aimer, Afilo Triklin, Esar al Esar, a pavilion which is 10 by 10 amas. Well, Yikra Shechasenu. So, in other words, he holds that the Mechitza doesn't help, I guess, because it's in the same room. Not 100% sure. Actually, we put it underneath the bed. But moving it, in other words, moving it 4 hours away from you when you're in the same room, he holds it wouldn't be enough. Rav Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Rav Chiya bar Va, Hoyrei Rav Chanina Tartoya, Rav Chanina of Tarta, decided, Kahadod Rav Shem Ha'azar, in other words, he passed him like this very chomerdika psak over here. Place can rule contrary to Rav Shem Ha'azar, it's permitted to recite. Divrei Kedusha in the same room, provided that you're dalet amos away from it. We're not machmir like this. Yerushalmi. Okay. Rav Binyamin bar Yafes b'shem Rav Yochanan, Tzoyal Kol Shehi, even a minute, if a minute amount of Tzoya is found, so Mevatel Barok, you could spit on it, and that will be Mevatel it. So, he brings in the bottom, it has to be thick. It such as phlegm. Though transparent covering suffices for excrement, clear saliva is not a valid covering. It's not only transparent, but it's liquid. Okay, so it has to be a certain, you know, a geschmack, a hacker, they said. Okay. So they're sitting around. They noticed a minute of excrement. Come Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi, kakala. So he went ahead and he spit on it. That it's only for a short time it takes to go from the seed to Tikna. In other words, it's not a permanent, after a certain time period, it'll dry up, right? It'll be absorbed, and then no longer we consider the kisa. He doesn't say how long this is, whatever this time is. Some say it's a frying pan. It's a short time. Okay. Best to move out. Teva shehimlet. You know, it says in the Marchagi that if you spit in front of your friend, that you can also lead to this adin because it's mias to your friend to see you spitting, and you're going to be also lead to this adin in every little maisa that you do. And I wonder, you know, does it apply here too? Where, you know, he's spitting in order to cover the tzaya, so it's for a purpose, so maybe that's not going to be repulsive to me because I know you're doing it for a purpose, right?
Great,
right? So he was happy about it. Yeah, I don't think it would be a problem, right? Okay. Okay, now we're going to learn very interesting halachas over here, very gay halachas, actually. These are, you have a box filled with svarim. There's a question here whether the svarim include Sefer Torah or not. Footnote 25. It says sacred scrolls refer to scrolls of the prophets or writings, known as Chumashim, which contain one of the five books, but not to an actual Torah scroll. It could be something like that. But a whole Sefer Torah we're not talking about over here. Let's assume that for the time being. So you could place that box underneath the head of the bed. You don't put it by the foot of the bed, because by the foot of the bed where your feet are, it's not covered to have the svarim by your feet. Right? You're talking about in Yoni covered over here. It says here, a Torah scroll may not be stored anywhere underneath the bed, not even at the head. Okay. Then on the bottom, he says over here, now that the food thing is a problem because of reyach ra that appears underneath the bed. When you sleep on a bed, there's a reyach. I'm sorry, ruach ra, I said the wrong word. I'm sorry. Ruach ra that appears under the bed. That's why you don't keep food underneath the bed. And v'diyeved, if you did, so then it's a machlokes. The Sephardish poskim are more machmer about this. Ashkenazish poskim are moderate. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if it applies in those cases. Okay.
Why? Is the bed or is the sleeping? Why would they be worthwhile only in a real bed?
A baby doesn't create worthwhile. That's all. You're so cute. So cute. Okay, anyway, it says here, also an interesting one here, it says that instead of saying a box that contains sacred scrolls, it says it's mole. You see, the Lashon Teva Shehim mole Yosfo. So apparently they're medayek from that if it was empty space between the top of the box and the scrolls, you could say it's not entirely full, and then you could put it even beneath the foot of the bed, because then it would be like Hosea Tefach, so your feet wouldn't be considered like on top of them. I'm not, you know, these are different things to look into. Anyway, let's go on. Rab Avin b'shem Rab Chuna, hushtei amita gavoy asra tvachim. That's if it's 10 tvachim high. That's where you say you could put it underneath the head of the bed. Vavachali hu chevlei amita nagim ateva, the ropes of the bed don't touch the box. If those conditions are not met, you can't do it. Hire Rabbi Yosef, come to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Kadad Rabbi Chuna, and he passed him like Rabbi Chuna said. I just wanted to say, you know, Maisa Shahaya with myself. I was once given a Sefer Torah. I was working as a mashkiach. I was a bacher, and I was a mashkiach in the Bahamas. And my job was to bring on the plane the Sefer Torah with me. All the people on the plane were loved it. They said, "Oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, thank you for coming. But now we feel safe on the plane. We're not going to crash. We have the Sefer Torah." Everybody was telling me this, the Gayim, whatever. Anyway, so I land in the Bahamas at the airport, and we get picked up by the taxi. And the taxi man has rules. He says everything goes in the trunk because you're not supposed to hold luggage on your lap. This is not considered safe. So I was going to put the Sefer Torah in the trunk. And all the guys who I was with, fellow mashgichim, they said, no, you can't do that. That's not covered for the Sefer Torah. So I didn't know what to do. So I asked the guy, you know, we convinced him to let me hold the Sefer Torah on my lap, you know, holding it regularly. But I wonder if from this Gemara you could prove one way or the other. It sounds like it's only underneath the mita that's a problem. For it to be in the trunk, maybe not. Let's leave this shiloh open. Maybe you can prove it from what we're going to read in the following page. What would you have done? Okay. Look. Yeah, so it sounds like it's not a problem. Leave underneath the bed? I don't know. Sacred scrolls. I don't know if it would apply to regular swarm. I have to look around. I'm not sure. I didn't look up the Shulchan Aruch. Here it's talking about having Kasher Shemitah with a Sefer Torah, even in the house, and even anywhere in the house. But it says, actually, it brings in 31, it's referring to the same room. Okay, Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'shem Rabbavu, b'hayakarch b'mapa, if it was wrapped in a cloth, o'shayinosu b'chalon, shugavar so t'vachim, it's in the window, which is 10 t'vachim high, then mutter, it's like it's in its own place. Mishum b'levi yomer, I said, l'kilayon, you prepare it by putting a dividing curtain. In other words, you have to have a partition. All right? Yeah. There's a lot of footnotes here. Ayin Shom. Well, Yeshev Anam Al Gavay Sasa. We're on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, we're doing well here. In 38 minutes, we finished one block. And at this rate, we should be able to finish the next one soon. So, Lo Yeshev Anam Al Gavay Sasa should save Torah Nosan Al Aleph. You can't sit on a bench where the Sefer Torah is on the same surface as, you know, you're on one. And this happened all the time when I was in Wilkes-Barre. My father was Robert Wilkes-Barre. And they had a safer. They had two holes in the. It was a wood, you know, wood bench. They had two holes. They put the safer Torah right in the two holes, and then they put a seatbelt on the safer Torah, you know, and they held it up. And then you would be sitting there, you know, on the bench with the same surface as the safer Torah. It's usur. Can't do that. Okay.
Where was the safer Torah?
In the corner.
And wasn't it in two holes?
Yeah, it wasn't two holes, but the Sefer Torah was leaning. The two holes are where the Atzei Chaim go into. The Sefer Torah itself is leaning on the wood. So you're going to sit on the wood. You're going to be the Sefer Torah's on the wood. You're on the same surface. It's a problem.
But it's
Wolfsburg. But it's Wolfsburg. Not a problem. That's Rav Moshe says you shouldn't do it. He says it's not covered for the Sefer Torah. You should always hold the Sefer Torah. And I remember Scranton came to visit Wilkes-Barre. The Mashkiach of Rav Turin told one of the guys, go up there and, you know, show that we didn't want to show that we hold that what they're doing is wrong. At the same time, we wanted to show safer, covered for the Sefer. So he actually went up there. He put his arm around the Sefer. It was comical. Anyway, we were trying to balance two things: covered HaSefer. What? No, he sent one of the buffer. The guy who did it was actually what's his name? Braun over here. What's his name? All right, Braun from TI. What's his name? Baruch. Baruch Braun was my kashir. He sent him up there. Yeah. Rabbi B'Shem, Rabbi Chuna Tefach. It has to be. One second. Let me go back. I skipped something. If it was no, I skipped. Sorry, let me go back again. I'm starting again. Lo yeshev on amagav asasol Rabbi Lazar. It was a story. He was sitting on a bench. Shesefer Torah nosin alav. There was a sefer Torah. He didn't know about it, and they told him about it. When he found out about it, he recoiled like you would recoil from a snake. There's two ways to learn this over here. It's either he says it's his great reverence for Hashem, his fear of dishonoring the Sefer Torah was as great as his fear of a serpent. Alternatively, he was in pain over the fact that he dishonored the Torah, and that was like the pain of a serpent's bite. Anyway, some people have it that he was as if he was bitten by a serpent. Anyway, yeah, okay. So sometimes people, you know, I heard that in the Gra, by accident moved a piece of muktzah on Shabbos. They'd say that Amaisa, by accident he moved some muktzah on Shabbos. And he fainted. The Grom Lamish fainted for the fact that he moved books in my accident. Anyway, this is like, you know, hailing of people. They get very upset. And was put on something else, means the Torah was not on lying on the same exact surface. So there was a break between the Sefer Torah and the bench. How big does that surface have to be at Heichon? So the Gemara says two farshim. Rabbi B'Shem Rabbi Chuna says tefach, as long as it's a tefach high. Rabbi Yom B'Shem Rabbi Zeira says afilu kosher, even a kosher. It could be a thin piece of cloth, as long as there it's not exactly the same surface, it's mutter. How do we pass in halacha? So on the bottom, he brings down the b'di'evet. The shach says you could rely on something that's 3 tefachim b'di'evet. L'chachila we require 10 tefachim. Interesting. What? I thought he said 3. That was piety. I'm sorry. Piety was 3 tefachim. And under the letter of the law, the object was tefach. Okay, you're right. Tefach, letter of law, tefach. Okay. So anyway, we go to l'chumra over here between these two. So we have one said tefach, one said toshahu. L'chumra, we're going to go halacha, one tefach. Okay, good. Daisiki shehim leyas for him. Now you have a sack filled with svarim, again, any sort of sacred scroll, including a Torah scroll, it says over here. Okay? So that's what it says over here. Here we're talking already with Sefer Torah. So, Osho Hayu Socha Atzmos HaMeis had bones of a corpse. HaRezim HaShin Lach Me'achorov. He could sling them behind him on the donkey. For Rochev and ride. So, in other words, like you've seen pictures of. So this is what I wanted to say, that this is the case of the trunk. So yeah, it's feeling.
But it says you could put those because they didn't have any other way to do it. Now that we have other ways to do it, it's not necessarily.
Okay, you had to look at the footnote. Come on, that's correct. Okay, it's feeling. Now, you can hang your tefillin from the head of the bed. In a tolos or maglos mita, you can't hang it at the foot of the bed. Rav Shulman Rav Elazar Shem Rav Kanino Rabbi Hai tolos atul mirash shoyis hamita. He said that he hung the tefillin at the head of the bed. But the Gemara says like this: when we say you hang your tefillin at the head of the bed, it doesn't mean you're hanging it from the straps. Rav Chizki Rav Shem Rav Ruhu Lavanchalo Yaaveh Kadein Dak Kalvu. Provided you don't do it like you do with hanging a basket, it'll tefillin normalon. So you have the bias of the tefillin on the straps are hanging. Rituus umlat and the rituus are hanging down. To have the tefillin hanging from the rituus is not considered covered. So So I guess he's taking the bias and putting it on a piece of wood. Let's suppose you have a head post, a headboard, right? And you have a flat surface over there where you could put the bias on the surface. So you could put it there and have the straps hanging down. But to tie the straps on the headboard and have the thorn hanging down, that you can't do. Okay? Next. Tana, Rav Kalata Mishol, Ha'itish, but Tfiloso, if you sneeze while you're davening, Simon Ralo, it's not good for you. Now, what does sneeze mean? So the Gemara says, Hadadat Amar Mumato, that sneeze is not talking about sneeze from your nose, it's that's rather gas, intestinal gas. Avo Mumala, if it's from his nose, well, that's not an evil sign. Asiam Gemara Rav Hanina, maybe he's. He saw Rebbe yawn and sneeze while he was davening, and he put his hands over his mouth to cover the yawn. But he did not spit. Okay, so obviously Rebbe, who was an Ish Kodesh Ma'id, there's no way that there would be a Siman Ra for Rabbi Noah Kodesh. So that's how we know that if you sneeze, it's not considered what? Right? It's not considered. Yeah, that is the problem. But he says not to spit. Very interesting. Spitting is no good. All right. Correct. I think in modern day society, it's considered not respectful to yawn in front of someone without covering your mouth. I think that's normal. So surely not in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Anyway, this is also actually even in the privacy of your home. Okay, so Rabbi Yechon Lomar Afilu Rotik. So we have a machlokas here. Okay, here it said this was a quote from. Reb Hanina before saying that Rebbe would not spit. Now, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Afilu rokik, you could spit during prayer, kidei sheyeh koso noki, so that his cup, which is his mouth, referring to here, will be clean." Now, to me, this reminds me of the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, right? It says, "Asa la'adam levarach," when a person has food in his mouth, right? Like a person who's shokeach, a person puts food in his mouth, he forgot to make a bracha, so he spits out the food, and then he makes the bracha. Why does he make the bracha with the food in his mouth? Because it says also, imale pi kolsihi lasecha, Pasuk says that, the Gemara says, you can't say a bracha, takarish bracha, when you have food in your mouth. So you have to take the food out of your mouth. That's a bravos to Gemara. So, not lachachil. L'charchila, if it's not moist, l'charchila is supposed to take the food out of your mouth. But you're not supposed to, you're male pi kol sehilo secha. You're supposed to have.
What are you going to make bracha?
No, I didn't say you're going to spit it out on the ground. I said you're going to put it in your hand. Yeah, I take a cookie. I bite into a cookie. Oh, wait a second. I forgot the same gazomas. I take a cookie out of my mouth, and then I make the bracha. I don't make the bracha with the cookie in my mouth. That's the din. So I was just thinking, that over here too, Rabbi Yochanan is saying he's saying that it's today his language is kidei sheyehei koso noki. He means is your mouth has to be empty of saliva when you're saying brachos for the same reason I was thinking. Anyway, I didn't see anyone quote that. I just thought it was a double question. Anyway, lefonavasar, in front of him, you can't spit in front of yourself. Because it's like you're spinning right in front of my Kodesh Baruch Hu, la'achar of mutter, but behind yourself you can. Liminu also to your right is also the smaller mutter, to the left it's also. It's mutter. So this right left is a question whether it's your right or whether it's the right of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is a question. Hador dechsev yipu mitzincha elaf rabovim mibinech. So that's the raya, 1,000 befall at your left side, a myriad at your left, at your right. So obviously there's more. Revava is much more than Aleph, right? So therefore, Mitzircha is the left side, and the Revova is the right side. So the right side is more Choshev. So therefore, it's a Raya that the left is Mutter. That's the Pasuk. Kol Amo Moidi Kahenro Kik It Al On. All means both Rav Chanina and Rebbechon agree with someone who spits in an idle manner. It means you just, like you see the people who spit on the pitcher's mound. You always see the pitchers are always just spitting. I don't understand what's going on over there. They just keep spitting and spitting and spitting. Every baseball player is just spitting. It's like a Mayan shape. It doesn't stop. Don't understand it. The whole Oster. Everybody holds that type of like. What's a good English word for that? When you do something willy nilly, just for no reason whatsoever. I can't think of a good haphazardly. It's a better word than that. Even. Anyway,
mindless.
That's not the word I'm looking for. Cavalierly. How about that one? That's awesome. Okay. Rabbi Shlomo Levi Omar, Harekiv Beis HaKnesses, Kerekiv Vav Aseinu. Terrible thing. Person spits in the shul. It's like you're spitting in the pupil of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eye. Yeah, a chutzpah
in the
night. Rabbi Yonah.
Probably be on the floor of the shul.
Yeah. Correct. That's correct. This is talking about a person who spits in the synagogue while not engaged in prayer. If Yeshua ben Levi holds, this is prohibited. Okay. Yeah, okay. Now, a dissenting view, Rabbi Yonah Rokik Vashayev, he would spit on the floor and rub the saliva with his foot. You know, I used to be told this that the Hasidim, when they would say Aleinu, they would say Shem, Nispal and Lehev of Arik, they would spit, right, something like that. And I always felt, you know, I always felt that to spit up in front of other people is Shnishkin Minut. If you hear Rav Shmuel, and here I see it could be Mamish, and Isser Gomer according to Shmuel Levi, it's Mamish also to do that. If you hear Rav Shmuel Bar Chalaf to Shem Rav Adar Bar Achlo. If you had already finished Shmona Esrei, and now you want to spit, you're done davening, so wait the shear it takes to walk Dalan Amos. Here it says until you go Dalan Amos, but I think it means, we're going to see in a second. I'm Rabbi Yossi, V'chein Reb Avun, Haroikik Ayispalel Achiha Halach Avams. That if you spit, and then you want to start davening, you should wait before you start davening that either to walk Dalai Lamas or the shear that it takes to walk, right? Where did I see this shear thing? Is that in the Gemara itself? Yeah, the Gemara says, Gemara's going to say it in a second. Tony Hamaspal, Ayatulus Habayim, Achi Halak Dalamas. Same thing is true for urination. So if you finish davening, wait Dalai Lamas before you go to the bathroom. V'chein Hamatomayim. If one went to the bathroom, wait Talanamas until Ayispala Shehalat Talanamas. You should wait. Here there's a whole arichas in the bottom, what the reasons for this is. And in the case of where someone was mashkin before he was mispal, the Babli seems to indicate that we're waiting for the very often that there are, like there's remaining drops that still have to come out. And therefore that we wait till Talanamas, so that they can come out, and then there'll be balua in the begadim, then it's no longer a problem. Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah, I mean, if you're in a bathroom, by the time you get out of the bathroom, you're way more dalamas, right? This is what I was telling you before, that it doesn't mean that he went, but it means he waited the amount of time. Okay, Amrabami. Yes, you can stand still.
Urinate and then
daven? Yes. Now, you're raising a good problem. Now, obviously, if there's a puddle of urine there, you can't daven. So it has to be removed if it was a clean, let's say, or it would be absorbed completely. Let's say it was into the sand. And it would be completely absorbed. So, Akasha of a Mesa, you know, I don't know. But yeah, you're right. It would be a little difficult. You had a little water. Had a little water there. Your little bottle of water. Wash your hands. You're standing still. Everything in one place. One stop shop. like we're in hotels, you know. Everything, you don't have to move. Everything's right there. So if you're going to say that you have to walk Dalai Lama's, no matter what happens, it's also for you to daven in that location. Once you were mashed in that location, if that were the case, then anywhere you go, wherever throughout the world in the last 100 years, there's undoubtedly many places where people urinated. And so how do you pick a place to daven? Maybe this was a place that somebody urinated. So it must be that after you wait a certain share, that place becomes mutar. That's his argument. Make sense, that argument? Sounds like a weak argument. Rabbi b'shem Rav, soya achetivish ka'atzam. Now we're getting a little more detailed about when the soa no longer considered soa. So it says over here that if it comes dry like a bone, then it's no longer a problem. Mine plus one chain, but teeth becomes to urine, on the other hand, as long as it can moisten something else that comes into contact. Remember, there's two shonas in the Gemara. The Gemara says one is tofeach, and one is tofeach amunas lahat fiach. Tofeach means it makes it wet. Tofeach amunas lahat fiach means it can make something wet, which in turn could make something else wet. It's a little bit more. Not a big difference, but a little bit more. Here it says, kol zman shein matpichin, it makes something else wet. That's the lower level. Geniv amar mayim kol zman shein yishum nikar. He says, as long as you can see on the ground the spot where there was urine, there's a outline of the urination location, that would be aser. Shmuel amar. Now we're on Mem Alpha on the base. Shmuel says, until the surface becomes crusted, which is much less than becoming like bone. Becoming like bone is like, as soon as you touch it or turn it over, it becomes like dust. This is much less. This is Yikrimu Panel. It becomes crusted. Shim Bar Vav B'Shem Rav Yechina Achi Yikrimu Panel. Again, same idea. Rav Yumi Rav Zeir B'Shem Rav Tzor Afim Asu Yikaetza. Asura. Now he said, even if it was like a bone, it's still forbidden. Shmuel Amar Achi Yikum Panel. Again, this is just the same sheet that's repeated again. It's just a different version of who's quoting these two sheetas. Shmuel says Achi Yikum Panel. Shmuel for Amar B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Achi Yikum Panel. We just quoted this. The pshat over here is the way I understand this is that it's Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zeira, B'Shem Rav. Quoting all these shitas. So he quoted, otherwise, I don't know why it would repeat it twice. Okay, Amar Chizkiya. Rabbaba Machra Mumayim Yoyser Bin Hatzoya. So it comes out Rabbaba treated urine more strictly than excrement. And that shouldn't be the case. Why is that? Let's see here. Rabbaba, why is that? Five. You know, what I was going to say further. A statement of Geneva says as long as the urine's mark can be discerned, as soon as you see the outline of where there was urination, then he holds it was aser. So why is Rabbah's ruling urine as too stringent? So Amalei, so he says, Afilasi etzem is asura. I hold that as it dries a bone, it's prohibited to fray. Its surface, its substance still exists. Mayimi mash mashakayim. Absorb urine, the substance no longer exists. In other words, that's what's bothering him. He's explaining what's bothering him, I think. Why is it that when it comes to Meragliam, that the Rishuma Nikar is Osir? And the actual existence of the urine is b'chlal not there. Mashenken, when it comes to tzoa, as soon as it becomes yavesh ke'etzem, it becomes mutter. It comes out that the urine is more chomer than the tzoa, which doesn't make any sense. That's what was bothering him. I think that's the pshat. he regarded Rav Abba's ruling concerning excrement as too lenient. In Chizkiya's view, excrement should be treated with far greater stringency than urine. Since dried out excrement still retains some shape and substance, you're prohibited to pray in its vicinity. It remains in force until the excrement degrades so that it crumbles into dust. At that point, it's completed, completely disintegrated.
You would think the color of the ground that absorbs the urine, that dissipates more quickly than the time it takes for the feces to become so dry that it becomes a bone-like.
Yeah, in terms of time, you're absolutely correct, but in terms of its existence, its existence persists much longer, and therefore that's what was bothering him. Uh-huh. He was upset by the psalm. Anyway, that's it. We're going to stop here. We'll start halacha of Amir Hashem tomorrow night.
Oof.
And again, just to remind everybody, tomorrow night will be Zoom only. Sunday night and Monday night, Zoom only. Yes.
All right. Good night.
Everybody, thank you very much. Good night.